Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Guguletu Mfuphi. It's a big day for company results today, and we speak to a South African coal miner, JSE-listed firm Thungela Resources, which provided us with an overview of their results, coming in with an increase in CapEx allocation, also delivering a sustained dividends for shareholders, despite the slight dip in what they describe as a decline in profits, or rather profits as well as softer prices regarding the delivery of coal. To tell us more about these numbers, we joined once again by the outgoing CEO of Thungela Resources, Mr. July Ndlovu. Such a pleasure to speak to you as always, sir.
Good afternoon and good afternoon to your listeners. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. July, I guess first things first, right? As we do take a look at the metrics so far, one of the opening lines within your JSE SENS statement does speak to the weak demand for coal as well as softer prices. Maybe let's just start there, because that certainly does characterize the overall performance of the numbers so far.
If you're going to look at the market and market dynamics, you've got to look at the short term as well as the long term. And the long term is actually the easier one to start off with, given that the long term fundamentals continue to be very supportive. If you read all the reports, particularly from the IEA, who spend a lot of time doing these scenarios and looking at what the demand dynamics are likely to be in the longer term, you would have seen that their mid-year report say that last year 1.5% up year on year 2024, and they expect that we'll be at those record levels again in 2025-26. In fact, they've now changed their narrative from coal is coming down and being phased out to we are now on a plateau, which suggests that phasing out of coal is going to be a lot more gentle.
Yeah.
That's the long term. Long-term fundamentals remain supportive against the backdrop of actually the fact that there's very little investment going into coal. So from that point of view, we see quite a supportive market. In the short term, however, it's a different picture. It's a different picture that in the key markets that we serve, particularly in Asia, India, China, places like Vietnam, we've seen elevated stocks which have affected prices. Why? This story actually goes back to around the same time that we saw prices explode on the back of the Ukraine war. As a consequence of that, these countries found themselves importing very expensive coal on the seaborne markets. And therefore, the most dominant theme in those countries today is about energy security.
Yep.
Having access to abundant, affordable, and reliable energy. And it comes no better than coal. So what has their response been? Increase in-country production. And then as they were doing that, Trump happened with tariffs, creating massive uncertainty around industrial production and energy demand in those countries. And therefore, this increase is in an environment where the energy demand growth has not continued to happen. I mean, there's significant energy growth from data centers and that sort of thing. But the bulk of energy demand in Asia is from industrial, particularly for export. So these tariffs and tariff uncertainty has had a significant impact on the trajectory for economic growth in those economies. So yeah. Until we see where those tariffs are going to land and what their levels are going to be, we're going to live with this uncertainty and volatility.
100%. What I am keen to also get your thoughts on, especially given the geopolitical environment and some of these risks and threats that currently exist over the short, the medium to long term, I'm quite keen in your observations, you know, given that you've seen the price cycle of coal and other commodities in the last few years, well over decades, on the back of our last conversation with you, is the, I guess, price cycle that we're in right now more nuanced? Are there particular factors that stand out for you more than what we've seen in the past?
This is a far more nuanced cycle, because typically commodity cycles are just determined by supply demand.
Yeah.
And typically supply discipline responds to those prices getting into a downturn. What is unusual about coal is, yes, there is supply discipline. We've seen volumes coming out in Australia, coming out in Colombia. Glencore did announce some cutbacks too. What is different is that despite that, there is no investment, particularly for seaborne high-quality coal, happening in the traditional producer countries. I mean, if you look at South Africa, which is what we all familiar with, the only investor into new mines is us. We built Elders. We're now doing Zibulo North Shaft.
Yes.
But other than that, there is very little investment going into new production. It's even more difficult in the more established markets like Australia. Getting licenses is almost impossible. If you can get capital and getting guarantees, environmental guarantees for those mines is almost, I would definitely have to find another word for impossible.
Mm.
So there is very little new supply being invested in a market where there is some excess. Yes, we have seen the response coming from in-country production in India and China,
mm-hmm.
but this is low-quality coal and cannot meet the requirements, particularly for these power stations that are built on the coastal regions. So that is the one nuance. The second nuance is that energy security has never really been a determinant in terms of energy policy.
Yes.
People tend to respond on the basis of supply demand. But actually, this energy security has become an overriding policy consideration. And again, that drives these dynamics that we're dealing with. So I would say anyone trying to put a pin on where the forward curve is going to be would have to spend a lot of time understanding this beyond just the traditional supply-demand dynamic.
100%. Those are interesting questions we're going to put to Moses in a couple of months, so the incoming CEO of Thungela to give us some perspective on. Let's keep with an update on the operations, and I'm glad that you've mentioned Zibulo North as well as Elders, given the investment there. In your statement as well, you do announce that there's ongoing growth prospects within that market. I'm keen to ask a twofold question, one that just focuses on this level of investment and how it's expected to contribute to your output going forward, but more so, weather conditions. For many of us as South Africans, we are ignorant to the fact that rain and coal with open-cast mines is not always a good combination. So perhaps just take us back to the concerns that have come around there.
So the Zibulo Elders question is a capital allocation question.
Yeah.
We always said we want to be able to invest through the cycle. And the board took a decision to create this buffer, the 5 billion buffer that we've all spoken about, that allows us with that strong balance sheet, that despite the softer coal prices, that we can continue to invest in these assets that not only improve the competitiveness of our portfolio, but makes it a robust long life portfolio. And both Elders is now in ramp up. Zibulo North Shaft is in development and should start ramp up fairly soon. We actually had our first call in June. Again, quite an important project. And I expect to see Elders getting to steady state in 2027 and Zibulo North Shaft right on the back of that. Now, talking to the observation you made about weather events,
mm-hmm.
Open cast and rain don't go together.
Yep.
And in the first quarter, we had, interestingly, actually didn't have a lot of rain in January,
mm-hmm.
but we had probably one in 50-year rain in the coal basin between February and into May, believe it or not. And with that, it affected two of our open cast mines, being Khwezela and Isibonelo. But I'm pleased with the work the team has done in terms of managing those water levels, and those mines are beginning to produce at levels we expect going into the second half of the year. And that's why we're quite confident with our guidance, actually, for H2.
100%. Let's talk about opportunities for further exports. And over the last 2 to 3 years, we've been discussing at pains the challenges we've experienced with Transnet and its freight rail operations, but also how there have been interventions that you yourself, together with peers in the mining industry, have participated in. Share an update with us that provides a little bit more detail in terms of the operational capacity, efficiencies that do translate into more better or positive outcomes in terms of your exports.
Transnet has actually been an example of what I call micro improvements and just being disciplined around those. What we have seen in the first half of the year is they are up 5% year on year compared to 2024. On the back of the things that I've repeated over and over, and Michelle has repeated over and over, we need to fix the rail, we need to fix the locomotives maintenance, we need to fix the signaling and bring additional locomotives onto the coal corridor. And all those together, working with the industry,
yeah,
are beginning to deliver these incremental improvements that we continue to see. They had their annual shutdown in July. And again, similar to what we saw last year after the shutdown, we expect to see further improvements going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, some positivity that's certainly come out. And of course, this is actually an indication of, you know, implementing the solutions that have been discussed with you over the last few years. You've always been known as the coal evangelist. And in our last interview with you, well over a month ago on Pivot Point, we reflected on your journey, reflected on insights. So I won't ask about future outlooks in terms of the company operations, but just in terms of the importance, again, if we can underscore that, of coal within the broader landscape of energy supply for an economy like South Africa, but also on the international market.
Look, South Africa is no different to other emerging markets. And I've been at pains to say to everybody that this choice between renewables and coal is a forced choice. Mm. These two energy sources can coexist. If we've got to power our growth ambitions, not just in South Africa, but as emerging markets across the globe, we've got to invest in both, not just in others. If energy security, energy reliability, energy affordability is truly an issue, what you can do is to exclude the most abundant energy source in your country,
yeah,
particularly a country like South Africa. Apart from the employment that it creates, the foreign currency it earns, I think this is such an important cog in our economy that we've got to continue investing.
100%. Mr. Ndlovu, it's such a pleasure speaking to you as always. I'm well aware that you're going to enjoy your days of early retirement, but please don't go too far within the mining industry.
Thank you so much.
I hope we see you at the mining in Durban next year, together with Moses Madondo, the incoming CEO of Thungela. And maybe if we can go there. I'm aware that you've spent a considerable amount of time together with Moses, going to your various mines and plants and speaking to staff. What do we need to know about this phenomenal leader that will be following not only in your footsteps, but also leaving his own legacy behind at Thungela?
Moses said to me, as I embarked on any of these interviews, that one, if you speak about me, will speak for me. Do not speak to me again. So Gugu, invite him to come to your studio to come and talk to you.
100%. We'll do exactly that. I know that he's an earshot. So Moses, please consider this as a polite introduction and a gentle nudge that there will be an invite that will be sent shortly. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Ndlovu.
Thank you so much.
We wish you a successful retirement. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
July Ndlovu, the CEO of Thungela Resources.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.